Welcome to the Purpose to Service podcast, a weekly show for women entrepreneurs who are ready to package up their knowledge and build a thriving service-based business that fuels the life they desire. I'm your host, Alicia Robertson, and through this show, I share real-life advice, my proven strategies for building your personal brand and gaining more clients, and I chat with other incredible women who are not only crushing it in their industry, but also building their business with intention. Whether you're just getting started or a seasoned professional, every week we dig deep into how you can leverage what you know and make a bigger impact through your content, make more money, and build your coaching or service-based business on purpose. Let's dig in. Hey, you guys, welcome back to another episode. So it's story time. So if you are not already, get cozy, grab a drink, grab some snacks. If you're in the car listening or watching this, I hope you're not watching this while you're driving. But if you're listening to this while you're in the car, turn up the heat just a little bit so that you can feel cozy because it's story time. So last week, Facebook actually reminded me that I have been an entrepreneur in some capacity for the past 9 years. And I didn't realize that I have been doing this for that long. I even think that I've been telling people that I've been an entrepreneur for like the past 8 or 7 years. But sure enough, little Facebook memories sent me like a notification last week, and it was like an old post of me celebrating my second year in business. And I did the math and was like, I've really been doing this for a really long time. And I didn't realize it has been that long. It's definitely been like a whirlwind type of journey. But it really just kind of like shook something in me. Like, girl, you've been doing this. You have been doing this for 9 years. So I took to Twitter, I took to Instagram, and I asked you guys, you know, hey, I have been doing this for a long time. Would you like for me to record a podcast episode on like my journey? Or would you rather hear more about like what I have learned over the past 9 years? And because you guys are just as awesome as you want to be, you said you wanted both of them. So I am going to be doing like a two-part episode on just like my past 9 years of entrepreneurship. And this week, I'm going to kind of take you through my story, and I really want to focus on a lot of the pivots and shifts that I've made over the past 9 years in order to get to where I want it to be, or to get to where I am now. Because when I tell you, being a coach was not the goal when I first started out 9 years ago. So I really wanted to talk about those pivots and shifts that I made to get from like just a girl who was like running a jewelry shop, just trying to like figure out her life, to now this, you know, woman who is now coaching other entrepreneurs on how to build a successful business. So I wanted to talk about that this week. And then next week, I'm actually going to do an episode, which is like a follow-up, just on like the big lessons that I have learned over the past few years and how I kind of plan to continue moving forward, and like which pieces of those advice I'm going to continue to implement into my business like moving forward. So before I get into this week's episode, full disclaimer, I did not take any notes for this episode. So I am literally like rapping off the top of my head right now. I wanted to record this, and I wanted it to be like as transparent as possible. So I didn't want to be tied down to like any hardcore notes. So if I sound like I'm all over the place, it's probably because I am, because I am literally rethinking the past 9 years of my life in like in real time while I'm recording this. So if I sound a little all over the place, you know, a little more than normal, I apologize, but stick with me because I promise, I really do think you may be able to get a lot out of like hearing my story. And if not, if you're just someone who is nosy like me and just likes listening to people's stories, then at least hopefully you'll be entertained. So let's go ahead and talk about, where was Alicia 9 years ago? So 9 years ago, as of last week, I was working in a call center job that I absolutely hated. It was like a medical call center job where I was basically just answering the phone and like taking people's insurance information and like telling them how much they owed on like their medical bills. And like it was really just a very sad space to be in and somewhere I didn't want to be, but I had to be because I needed to work. I had just graduated from college. I graduated college in 2010. So I was graduating right at the end of like the recession, but even though we were coming towards the end of it, the economy was still really bad. So it was really hard for me to find a job in like the industry that I wanted to be in. And I actually went to school for mass communications with an emphasis on public relations. So I just knew I was about to be somebody's publicist, y'all, in like this pretty office. And if you've read the Living Over Existing book, then you have heard this story before of how like I just knew I was going to be in my fancy high-rise office and how that didn't happen. So I found myself, you know, back at home with my mom, working these just kind of like dead end horrible jobs. And I was really in a space of where I feel like most 22, 23 year olds are often in, and just a space of not knowing what's next and feeling like you should have it all figured out, which if I could go back and tell 22 year old Alicia, like, girl, you're fine. You're not going to have it all figured out until you're well into your 30s. I felt like I was just really in a place of being stuck. The job that I was in was really just depressing. It was really sad. And I didn't know what was next. And I was getting to the point where I was worried that I would be stuck there for forever. So I've always been a pretty creative person. Always kind of, you know, like drawing, even though I'm not that good at it, like crafts, things like that. And I don't know if you guys remember, but the big trend back then was, like these really pretty like beaded bracelets that were like stretchy, and then some were kind of like made with leather. And I wanted some of those bracelets so bad because I saw everybody like stacking them on top of each other, but I couldn't necessarily afford it. Like I was, again, still working in a very like horrible dead end job. So I said to myself one weekend, okay, well, I don't have anything else to do. Why don't I just go to the craft store and see if I can make these like bracelets myself? So I went to the store. I, you know, invested maybe $20 on like some supplies, and I sat down that entire weekend until I figured out how to make one of those bracelets. And it was like something had just sparked in me at that moment. It was like, oh, like, this is what it feels like to be able to sit down and do something that you really enjoy. This is what it like feels like to be able to like tap into that creative part of your brain, especially when you haven't done that in so long. And I just completely became like obsessed with the process of like making just this jewelry. And even in that moment, it was never my goal for it to be like a business. It was really just a creative outlet that kind of took my mind off of the horrible job that I was in. But the more I shared my jewelry, the more I posted pictures on like Facebook and things like that, the more people kept asking, oh, can I buy one? Or can you make me one? Or where did you buy that? Or, you know, are you selling those? The more I got at like asked those questions. And I think one day I was just like, you know what? I don't have anything to lose. I might as well, you know, see what it looks like if I were to make a few of these pieces, open up a little online shop, take it from there. Like I literally had nothing to lose at that point because I felt like I was already at the bottom, maybe not rock bottom at that point, but I was already at the bottom. So like I didn't have anywhere but up to go, I felt like. So 9 years ago, I opened my first online shop and it was called Eclectic Star. So my first goal, like iteration of the shop, was for it to be like this bohemian type of like super chill, super relaxed, you know, type of brand. And I realized very quickly that maybe this could be something. Now, I wasn't selling a bunch of jewelry at one time. I was not, you know, trapping out the trunk constantly. Like I was selling a few pieces here and there, but what it did do, and one of the things that I'm super grateful for, is that it opened my mind up for what was possible, or what was could have been possible for me. I was really at a place at that job that I hated, that I felt like there were no other options. So like taking this hobby and then deciding, okay, maybe I'll just sell a few pieces here and there, it really made me realize that, oh, maybe I didn't have to be stuck at that job. Like, even if entrepreneurship wasn't going to be my thing, or even if, you know, selling this jewelry wasn't going to like tap into some type of $1 million company, it opened my eyes to what was possible, and it kind of lit something in me of like, okay, girl, you don't have to stay stuck here anymore. You don't have to keep, you know, putting up with this crap anymore if you don't want to. So while I'm like making jewelry, kind of selling pieces here and there, and I'm really like learning everything that I can about entrepreneurship at this time. So like I'm reading books, I'm watching YouTube videos, like I'm really diving deep into it. And in the midst of all of that, things at my job just kept getting worse. And again, I've talked about this in the Living Over Existing book about how, you know, I had this one customer that, you know, was on the phone with me, and she was irate, calling me every name and racist name in the book. And I ended up having what I know now to be a full-on like panic attack at that job. And it came to the point for me, and you guys, this is the abbreviated version because I'm trying not to keep you here that long, but I go more into detail in the Living Over Existing book. But I knew at that moment that I either needed to choose working at that job and having a steady paycheck, or leaving and leaping into the unknown. And I didn't feel like that job or that paycheck was going to be worth my mental health or my sanity. So I quit. I went in the next day and put in my 2 weeks notice with no real plan. All I had was this little shop that was maybe making me a couple $100s a month. Like, I had nothing, but I knew that taking a leap of faith and seeing where I could take this shop would be better than me sitting in a job that was drainingly like me emotionally. Like, I knew that that wasn't where I wanted to be, and I was willing to leap into the unknown in order to figure out what else was out there. One of the things I hear come up a lot when I talk to other entrepreneurs about why they haven't launched is that they are afraid of like what the unknown may be. And I get that, because I'm also someone who loves to be in control and loves to have like this path laid out for me. But you really do get to a point where you get fed up with yourself, and you get fed up with your own circumstances and whatever. Even if you don't know what's next, even if you don't know what's out there, you just get to a point where you know that unknown has to be better than the position that you are currently in. And that's the part that I was at. I was just so fed up with the bare minimum in my life that if nothing else, taking that leap was going to give me like, you know, a adrenaline rush. Like, it was going to like hype me up to at least figuring out what I was going to be doing after that. So I put in my 2 weeks notice. I left that job. But the problem with that was I still really didn't know how to run a business. And At that point, I didn't have any business friends that I could turn to. And I hadn't yet tapped into like this whole world of like online entrepreneurship. I wasn't someone who grew up in a family with other entrepreneurs. I wasn't someone, again, who had, you know, experience around being with entrepreneurs. So I really felt like when I took that leap and quit my job, it was almost like, okay, I have this thing. It's kind of working. Still don't really know what I'm doing, but I also feel really lonely in this space. So this is where that first kind of shift started to happen. So once I quit my job, I figured, okay, I need a way to like document what I'm going through. And for me, writing has always been how I documented my life, or how I expressed my emotions, or how I just did like a good brain dump. I've always turned to like writing or journaling. So when I quit my job, I decided to launch my personal blog, where for me, again, it would have just been a place, almost like a diary, for me to just talk about what I was experiencing, talk about what I was going through, for me to talk about the other things that interest me. And like, that's exactly what it served as. It served as a hub for me to just freely be able to like express myself and talk about this journey of me building this new business. And one of the things that I noticed with blogging, and one of the things I'm so grateful for when it came to like blogging and put myself out there, is that it again, that's what opened me up to this whole world of other women who were either blogging and turning their blogs into businesses, or women who were like real entrepreneurs, you know. And in my eyes, I thought they were like, oh, these are like actual entrepreneurs. And I'm super thankful for taking that kind of shift into being willing to put myself out there, because I've met so many incredible people who I am still friends with 9 years later today, who I have met simply through the online like blogging space. So as I am blogging about my journey, I wish that I could say that my content was super streamlined and I was niched down, but there was no such thing as all of that, like back then, at least not in my space. I was talking about, my journey as an entrepreneur. I was talking about how I had to actually like rebrand my online shop. I ended up rebranding it and renaming it because it just wasn't working. And, you know, I did a lot of research on, you know, storytelling and branding and messaging. So I was talking about how I was going through the process of like rebranding my business and how I was kind of like rebuilding it from the ground up to make sure that it was working. But I was also talking about like my trips to Target and the boy I was talking to at the time and like my breakups, and it was just all over the place. But as I started talking more about my journey, you know, as an entrepreneur, as I was rebranding, as I was getting my jewelry sold in like small shops, as I was creating more content around the business side, I started getting questions from other women who were also interested in then like starting their own business, or more specifically like starting their own like online shop. And I didn't think anything of it. You know, I would get emails, you know, every day of people asking. I would just take the time to answer those emails. And it got to a point where I was getting so many questions about business and like my experience with like running my online shop and rebranding and doing all of these things. It got to the point where I was like, wait a minute. I actually know some things now at this point. Like, I actually kind of know what I'm doing with this business space. And I really do love answering these women's questions, but it's getting to the point where I can't, you know, spend all of my time in my inbox answering questions. I need to figure out how I can still help them, but also somehow make some money from it, or at least make it like worthwhile. And again, this is where you're starting to like see that first big shift or pivot be made in like my career journey, because that's the very first time that I started offering like coaching services. And I think this was around 2016-ish. And I don't take after me. I started offering like 1 hour sessions for like $35. Like, it was insane how I wasn't making any money from it. But again, I wasn't viewing it as me being a coach or me being a consultant, because I didn't even know what that was back then. I viewed it as this was like an opportunity. And honestly, this wasn't even 2016. This had to be like 2014, 2015. Yeah. Trying to get my timeline right. But I didn't even view what I was doing as coaching. I just thought I was hopping on the phone with people and talking with them about their business problems and, you know, just kind of taking it from there. I didn't think that it could be anything more than just that. But I, again, started noticing a shift. And one of the things I wanted to mention while I'm telling my story is that I have always felt like when God wanted me to pivot or take another level or go to the next level or take another step, I always feel it in my gut. Like, I always feel uneasy. I always feel like something isn't aligned, something isn't right. And I started to feel that gut feeling. And the more I kept blogging about business and kept talking about my business, the more I started, you know, coaching other women through their questions and helping them to get like their online shop started, I kept feeling like this gut reaction of like, okay, something is changing, something isn't right, a pivot is about to happen. And the more I was coaching these women, the more I was like helping and guiding them, the less I started falling, the less in love I was with my online shop at that time. Like, I had even cut back on the amount of products I was making. whenever I would get an order in, everything was like made to order. Every time I would get an order in, I would feel so frustrated with having to sit down and like make these pieces, knowing that I would have rather have been blogging, or I would have rather been like prepping or working with my clients. So I knew when I started to feel that shift that something needed to change. And it was both were like, I felt like were pulling at me or pulling at my time. And I just did not have the capacity to continue doing both. So I had to make a decision to choose whether I wanted to keep making jewelry and fully, you know, committed to growing my online business or my jewelry business, or if I wanted to fully commit to figuring out what quote unquote coaching, because I still didn't feel comfortable with calling myself a coach, what coaching would look like for me as an actual business. So I started taking on more clients, and eventually the clients that I were taking on was making like what I was making in my shop, or was making me more than what I was making in my shop. So I made the decision to close down my online shop and to fully commit to going into coaching. Now, two things I want to mention here. One, consistency is everything. Those first few clients that I received, I would have not have gotten if I wasn't creating content consistently, talking about my brand, talking about the things I was learning in business, talking about my failures and my experiences. I was at that point blogging every single day. And while I don't think that's necessary now, it was that consistency that got my audience's attention. It was that consistency that made them want to trust me with handing me over their money. Even if it wasn't a lot at that time, you know, I eventually raised my prices, y'all. But it was that consistency that helped me to get those clients time after time after time after time again. So I just wanted to point that out there, how that kind of like that big shift kind of happened in my business. So I'm at this point now where I am coaching more clients consistently. I did kind of raise my prices, but definitely not enough. I think around this time is when me and my now husband first started dating, and I was living in one city. He was here in Raleigh, and I knew I wanted to, of course, move to Raleigh to be closer to him. But even at that point, my coaching business at the time wasn't really making enough to like sustain me. And I was still staying with my mama prior to this, y'all. So and this is something that a lot of people don't know, I actually went and got a part-time job back when I first started coaching so that I could like get a discount on the apartment that I was working at and, you know, be able to afford, you know, my coaching money would be able to afford like my rent and have me a place to stay. So like a lot of people don't know that. And that's one of the things I also wanted to point out as well. Like, do what you need to do in order to like sustain yourself and to like put clothes on your back and roof over your head and like food in your belly. Because, you know, I went into entrepreneurship with no plan. I took the leap of faith in leaving my last full-time job 9 years ago with no plan. But you can, of course, have a plan, but also don't be afraid to do what you need to do in order to get to where you want to be. I knew I wanted to be with my boo, and I knew I needed to, like, move to make that happen, like, on, like, a consistent basis. So I did what I needed to do. So I, of course, continued to grow my coaching business. And this is where the shifts that started happening in my business were a little bit more detailed. So I was still coaching, you know, still, of course, coaching, but how I was coaching began to shift. And this is because I started to tap into like more of the online entrepreneurial space and not just the online like blogging space. So I started learning about e-courses and webinars and lead magnets. And like, this is like years ago, you guys. So like at this point, these things are still new. They're still very shiny, and you could get a bomb course for like $100 back then. So I started learning more about this online like entrepreneurial space. I started following more entrepreneurs who are like teaching in this space, and that's when I started to make more shifts as far as like my brand and like my messaging and like who I was wanting to work with. So like at first I was only working with people who wanted to launch an online shop. So like that was kind of my niche, because of course my background was in e-commerce. And then I slowly started like learning more about this online space, and I started, you know, creating workshops, and I created a couple courses back then. I was creating lead magnets, and things like that. And I think slowly my kind of perspective on how I was running my business began to change. So I kind of shift from working with e-commerce, you know, entrepreneurs to, you know, launching my own courses and like doubling and then tripling my prices for my services and learning how to create a great client experience and learning how to essentially teach other service-based entrepreneurs how to do what I was doing. So I began to make that shift into that space. So helping more course creators and also helping more service-based entrepreneurs and not so much coaching clients. And at this time, I was still very consistent with what I was creating. I was still creating content on a daily basis, whether it was on my blog or whether it was on social media. I was still, you know, hosting webinars whenever I could. I was still hopping into other people's webinars and doing joint webinars. I was doing all the things. But this is where things start to get a little tricky. So I was coaching, I'm doing all the things, I'm, you know, taking on clients, I'm charging more than I was, but I still wasn't where I am now, definitely in price, and I definitely wasn't, you know, where I wanted to be, like, as far as the type of clients that I was taking on. So, like, while I was working with service-based entrepreneurs and course creators, I was still very, like, generic with who I wanted to work with. So I wasn't getting the best clients all the time, but I was also really just focused on, like, wanting to make money. So it was really hard for me to, like, say no to money. So I was taking on clients that were not making me happy. Because of all this new content and, like, this whole, like, boom of courses and webinars that was happening, I was consuming everybody's content, and I found myself in a space where I was doing all the things that every marketing guru, every course creator, every coach was telling me that I needed to do in order to hit my income goals and in order to continue getting inconsistent clients. And I've told this portion of my story 10 times before on this podcast, but following that, you know, trying to hustle, not sleeping, trying to do all the things, trying to create all the content and be on all the platforms, trying to show up and be everything to everyone, I ended up hitting burnout, like, super bad, like, really, really hard. And I've said this on this show before, but it got to the point where I didn't want to work. I didn't want to talk to my clients, and I love my clients. Like, at that point, I was starting to, you know, kind of learn how to position myself better and get clients that I actually really wanted to work with. But I was also still taking on way too many clients. One, I needed to raise my prices, but I was taking on way too many clients, and I would get to, like, my ready for my client calls, and I would just feel so exhausted, so burnt out, to the point where I was resenting my clients. And they were great. That was not on them. It was definitely on me. And I knew that I had gotten myself into a space. And, like, this is the time of, like, Periscope was really popping. Instagram had really picked up momentum. Again, everyone was doing webinars. Everyone was doing challenges and grow your email list and do this and do this and do that. And I didn't know any better back then. All I had was the people that I was following, and I saw that if all of those things were making them successful and was making them, like, the six figures or whatever, then that's also what I needed to do in order to, quote unquote, be successful. And I really found myself in a space where I was extremely burnt out, but also chasing someone else's idea of success. Like, yeah, I wanted to make money, but did I necessarily need to make, you know, six figures in order to pay for my $600 apartment? You know, did I necessarily need to create a course in 50-11 courses? I was creating a lot of courses, been launching back then. Like, did I necessarily need to do all of those things? Did I need to do webinars every month? Did I need to do a joint webinar, you know, when I wasn't doing a solo webinar? Like, it was just so much that I was falling for because, again, this is what I saw was making other people successful, and I wanted to be on that level. And I really just ended up burning myself out, like, ridiculously. And it got to a point where I was just fed up. I was annoyed with how I saw other coaches making their clients or their audience feel when they didn't have money to pay for them, or if they decided not to take the next step. I didn't like how a lot of coaches were making their clients feel like beneath them, almost in a sense, when they didn't want to work with them. I didn't like how marketing was being pushed and making people feel like you had to be doing all of these things in order to be successful, because that's what I had like fallen for, and fallen for that hustle culture. I didn't like people being told that they had to, you know, make that big sacrifice and don't sleep tonight in order to get that work done. Like, it looking from the outside in, I was amazed. But once I was in it and saw how a lot of the coaches and the marketing gurus in our space was moving, I didn't want any parts of it. And I was tired. I was over it. I was exhausted. I was burnt out. So the only way that I knew how to get out of that space was to stop taking on clients, stop creating content, stop marketing, just completely just let it go and figure out what it is that I wanted to do. And I'm going to have to backtrack for a second here as well, because in the process of all of this, I had also started like writing the Living Over Existing book. And for those who don't know, the Living Over Existing book is really just about the helping entrepreneurs to push past the mental barriers that are holding them back from success. So the fear that is holding you back from launching your business, or the doubt or the comparison. So while I'm going through all of this, I am also writing a book. And for those who have never wrote a book before, and for those who have wrote a book, you know how exhausting and taxing writing a book is. Not only writing a book, going through editing with my editor, and then not only doing that, but also prepping for a launch and getting my launch team together, I was done. Like, I was exhausted. So I not only was taking on my clients, trying to create all the content, but I was also writing a book, editing a book, planning for the marketing and the launch for that book, and I was just fried. And I think a lot of times when I was going through this, I kept saying, okay, you just need a break. Take a few days, you'll be fine. So I would take a few days, come back, still feel the exact same way. Or I would, you know, close my calendar for clients for a month and say, okay, I'm going to spend this time to just focus on the Living Over Existing book. I'll come back to client work later. And as soon as I came back to client work, I would feel the exact same way. And it was really because, yes, I was burnt out, but something in my life, in my pattern, needed to change, because I realized I couldn't go from being burnt out all the way, you know, and then come right back into hustle mode and grind mode again. Like, that lifestyle was not sustainable for me. It may be for you, but for me, it just was not sustainable. So I decided that the only way that I was going to be able to get out of this space that I was in was to completely shut everything down. Like, just stop. I launched the Living Over Existing book. It was a, you know, huge success, did really well. But as far as like the coaching side of my business, I had to stop. I had to stop taking on clients. I had to stop creating content. I just needed time to sit with myself and figure out what the hell I was going to do next. And that is where like the next big pivot started to happen. When I launched the Living Over Existing book, I also launched a podcast, which you are currently listening to now, to go along with it. The podcast was just supposed to be a marketing tool for the book launch. It was never supposed to be like an actual ongoing thing. But when I decided to do the podcast for the book, my goal was to share other stories of women who were living on purpose and like who were choosing to live and go after their dreams. Since the book shared my story, I wanted the podcast to share other women's stories, but also as a way for me to kind of spread the word about the book. So once the book launched and I, you know, was done with that, people kept asking me, okay, girl, what's next? Like, when's the next podcast episode? Like, what are you going to do next? And I had no plan for that because, again, the podcast was just supposed to be those few episodes during the marketing or like the marketing of the podcast. Like, it wasn't supposed to be an actual thing, like an ongoing thing. So I figured, you know, since I was already in this space of not knowing what I was going to do next, I figured I would sit down and really just think about what I could do with this name, Living Over Existing, which, pause for a second, I actually created t-shirts way back in 2012 or 2013 for my jewelry business that said living over existing. And this is just like a testament of how God brings ideas back around full circle. That started out as just a t-shirt many, many years ago, 9 years ago, and ended up being my company name, you know, fast forward and up until a few months ago of me, you know, recording this episode. So I sat down, really just figure out what would living over existing be. And I realized that, okay, I really do love coaching, but I want to still be able to coach in a capacity that feels good to me. And maybe, you know, if I struggled with burnout, with client work, with hustling, with all of these things, then I can't be the only person who is also struggling with this. So I went into building Living Over Existing, not really knowing what it was going to be, but I knew that I wanted to talk about how to help women entrepreneurs to build their business with intention. So, that has always been like the goal. That was always the goal for Living Over Existing, even though I didn't know what capacity that would happen in. So during that next big shift, you guys, from doing one-on-one coaching to like being in this space of figuring out what living over existing would look like, I tried so many things. A lot of things did not see the light of day. A lot of ideas did not make it through, but I went through a lot of iterations because, again, this was yet another business that I hadn't planned from the start. It was just something that happened. So I went from wanting living over existing to be more of like a media company where I had other people come in and share articles and write articles about entrepreneurship and around, you know, like personal development things that were geared towards women entrepreneurs. That didn't stick because I quickly realized that managing writers was not what I wanted to do. I went through a phase where I was really focused on growing the podcast and just making a living off of podcast ads. I quickly realized that that was not the route I wanted to take either. I played with the idea of living over existing sort of being almost like a tech company, but being a space where, you know, if you wanted help with branding, I would have a 20-minute class on how to brand your business. Or if you wanted help on creating content, I would have like this class on creating content. Like, I wanted to create Living Over Existing to be almost like a library of business workshops. And I was going through like the process of like creating pitch decks and, you know, signing, you know, applying to grants and signing up for funding and like going this whole like venture capitalist, you know, founder route that I thought I wanted to do. And that didn't work out. It just did not stick. And Lord, let me not even forget to mention the failed crowdfunding campaign, which if y'all were there, you know, that was horrible. So I went through all of these different like iterations, and I think the biggest thing I wanted to pull from that and I wanted you to remember is that no one business starts out perfect. No one goes into business saying, okay, this is the perfect idea. It's going to take tweaks. It's going to take changes. It's going to take many different iterations. You may even feel like you're just throwing noodles at the wall and just waiting for something to stick. But because I was in this space of, well, I'm not doing nothing else, I might as well, I'm happy that I had that space to be able to get creative and think freely and just think about what I really wanted out of a business versus just doing what everyone else thought that I should have been doing, you know? Like, I'm glad I had that space to kind of like poke around and change and play and iterate and just come up with all of these ideas and really just get clear on what I wanted to do. So as you all may know, that we're getting closer up to like 2020 now, 2019, 2020. I finally realized that I still wanted to coach, but knew I couldn't no longer do it in a one-on-one capacity. At this time, I believe I was also pregnant with my daughter. So I definitely knew that one-on-one coaching was not going to work for me because I wanted to be present with her. And my idea of one-on-one coaching at that time was going back to how I was coaching before and being exhausted and burnt out. And I knew with a baby, I was not going to go through that. So I was trying to figure out how I could still coach, but do it in a way that would still give me, you know, the freedom that I wanted and more time with my kiddo and without like hitting burnout. And I'm not sure how I came across membership communities. I don't know if I watched a video or if I just saw other people with membership communities. I don't really remember, but I remember thinking, oh, I have years worth of courses that I have created. I love to coach. I love community. How about I create this membership community and bring in other women entrepreneurs and just see like what happens here? Like what would happen if I did this thing? So I launched our membership community, the Low Collective, which of course, as you guys know, has changed now. I launched the Low Collective really just as a community at first. I really just wanted to create a space for other women to be able to connect with women entrepreneurs and to just talk about this whole journey of entrepreneurship. Because again, when I first got started, I didn't know any entrepreneurs and I didn't have anyone to turn to, which is one of the big reasons why I started blogging at the time. But I knew I wanted to create this space where other women felt like they had other people that they could connect to. So I created this space and I quickly learned that yes, people wanted community, but they also wanted to be coached. They wanted to learn. So I added in all of my past courses that I've created. I created like this little roadmap that you can go through depending on at what stage of your business you were in. And I really just built my, you know, my membership from there. I kept asking my members what they thought, and we're not going to go into pricing because we will be here another hour, but shout out to everybody who got into my membership and who is currently still there, who got in for $15 a month, because girl, I don't know what I was thinking, but I was trying new things out. So shout out to y'all who are still, you know, getting in for that much. So I launched this thing and, you know, I added in my courses. Then I started adding in, okay, what will it look like if every Tuesday we had like a coaching session? Or, okay, what would it look like if I brought in my friends who are good at content, who are great at systems, who are great at launching, and see, you know what, if you could just have a session, you know, with them in a community where you can just pick their brain for an hour. Or let's see, you know, what if I niche down, instead of focusing on all women entrepreneurs, I focus more on service-based entrepreneurs. And it has really just grown and evolved and changed up until where I am today. And that's with the Purpose to Service Academy now. And it's more of now a group coaching program where I am really hands-on with our members and I'm really making sure that they are making the progress they need to like launch their signature offer. But one of the things I wanted to mention about that is none of this would have happened if I wouldn't have been able or willing to pivot and go to the next step. I would have still been sitting in that job had I not, you know, taking the leap into launching, you know, that business, or taking the leap into wanting to be a full-time entrepreneur. I would not have started coaching had I not shifted and pivoted and started talking about my journey as an entrepreneur on my blog. I would have not launched my membership community had I not hit burnout. Like, that sucked, but I know now that I needed that so that I can now, you know, make it my mission, which is legit my mission of my company, to help women to build their business with intention so that they are not burning out. So every piece that I have gone through to get me to where I am today has been because I have been willing to pivot. I have been willing to make a change. I have been willing to make a shift. I have been willing to put myself out there and try new things. And I would have not been gotten to where I am today had I not been able to like trust myself just enough, trust myself and trust God just enough that, okay, if I take this one step, I don't know what's going to be next, but I know it has to be good because I'm feeling drawn to it. I followed that calling. I followed the pull that I was feeling, no matter how much it hurt me. Like, I've gone through some crap over the years and I left a lot out. No matter how much it hurt me, no matter how much it made me feel like I didn't know what I was doing, I kept moving forward. I kept taking that step forward because I knew that what was on the other side of that fear had to be better than what I was experiencing. So that is really like my entrepreneurial journey. And I know I've kept you guys here a lot longer than I normally would, but those are the pivots and shifts that I have taken in order to like really get me to where I want to be. So that has been my 9 years wrapped up. 9 years of failures, 9 years of faith, 9 years of being able to pay my bills, 9 years of of leaps, of freedom, of joy, of tears, just 9 incredible years. And I just cannot believe that I am still here doing this today. And I feel like the only reason I am still here doing this today, because one, I'm invested 9 years, I'm not going nowhere. And two, even though I've gone through so much, even though I've changed so much, I truly do feel like God has put me here for a reason. And I don't want to give up on that call. I don't want to give up on all of you guys who I feel like I am called to serve. So yeah, that has been 9 years in a matter of 40 minutes. So I would love to answer any questions about my journey that you guys may have. So if you're watching this on YouTube, feel free to drop your question in the comments. If you're listening to this on the podcast, then you can definitely shoot me a DM or a message over on Instagram. I'm at the Alicia Nicole. I would love to answer any questions that you may have. But yeah, like I said, next week I'll be sharing an episode on the lessons that I have learned over the past 9 years. I promise you the episode won't be this long, but I feel like this was just a good foundational episode. So you can just see, none of this has been perfect over the past 9 years. I have failed. I have underpriced myself. I have burnt myself out, but I kept going. I got up and I kept doing it because this is what I feel like I'm supposed to be doing. Yeah. All right, you guys, thank you so much for hanging out with me, and I will be chatting with you next week. Before you go, I'd love to know what your biggest takeaway was from this episode. Take a screenshot and share it with me over on Instagram at the Alicia Nicole. Also, if you enjoyed this episode, please head over to your favorite podcast streaming app and rate the show and leave a review. The more great ratings and reviews we receive, the more incredible women we are able to impact with our message. And as always, thank you so much for listening to the Purpose to Service podcast.